You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I know we're not supposed to be on Facebook all the time, but my God, sometimes it's comic relief. Sam, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're really missing out.
There's a new mom via Instagram today who is holding up her gigantic Chubbs baby.
I wouldn't say I'm missing it, boss.
Gigantic 6-month-old baby boy. That boy is not missing any meals. Okay. And she just writes, when you're 6-month-old is 31 pounds. And what? That little chubby baby's got this look on his face like, nope.
He's a big boy.
Where's the food?
He's a big boy.
Wow. So she puts that out there. 6-month-old is 31 pounds. And immediately the Detroit Lions reply, dibs.
Nice. All right, I am missing that.
Speaking of Instagram, have you seen the new little video from the Chiefs? It's like a little mini series that they're putting out, the magic number.
Yes. Can you explain the magic number, Dan?
What's this about?
They did it last year, too.
They did this kind of a thing?
Yeah.
These little videos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that last year.
Okay.
Do you care to expand?
Yeah, because none of us know what you're talking about.
Yesterday, the Chiefs released like a little mini series, a humorous mini series where these people are here in Kansas City. They're Chiefs fans, and they're searching for the magic number. And there's a lot of people that they come in contact with, lot of cameos.
Holly Robinson Pete is in this. Right. Christopher Maloney.
Yes.
Pete Holmes.
Yes.
And it's just like a goofy, fun... I'm almost positive they did the magic number thing last year.
No Chiefs players are in it. Just fans? Yeah. Oh, well, players are in it.
Previous players so far.
Got it.
But Jason Sudeikis Tom Ali. Is the voice. It's all over social media.
Yeah, it launched yesterday. And they shot it here, and there's people walking around the West Bottoms. And it's a cool little thing.
Oh, so we are going to finish Landman tonight. We didn't get to it last night.
Yeah, I'm out.
Don't waste your time.
Well, I need to know what you're talking about, buddy. So we're going to finish it tonight.
I'm going to start it tonight.
And then tomorrow night, I promise you, we will start American Primeval.
I'll have notes on Landman, too.
Start early, because once you start, you will not stop.
By the way, Dan, was the typed notes that were sent out to us
really necessary?
That was a second set of notes, by the way. He showed me the first set of notes.
I just wanted to let you know that I finished it and had some thoughts.
We're good. We're good, Dan. We are going
One,
to
two,
wait.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Six paragraphs. Mm.
Short paragraphs. Sentences long.
Mm-hmm. We are going to wait until Scott and Sam discover the horrifyingly violent joy that is that series. There are only 6 episodes, and then once you do, we will talk about it, and we are going to have a historian on the program to talk about the St. Joe connection to the march west from this area through Utah and beyond. We are working on it as we speak. I'm going to give you a week to watch this. It should not take a week.
Okay.
I do have a very cautious, because it is not safe for kids— and it's disturbing. Run, Do Not Walk.
Okay.
On Peacock, P. Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy.
Can't do it.
I don't think it is.
It's a documentary going from, they talk to the guy who was essentially his brother. They talk to everyone that he was tied to closely prior to becoming, quote, Puff Daddy.
They're not trying to, I don't want to say justify, but explain his awful, felonious behavior.
At first, I thought that that's what they were doing for about the first half.
Because you can do that with a documentary. You can make it tell whatever story you want.
And then it flipped about halfway through. So the first half was, you know, here's this kid. Here's what he was like. The second half was...
rough lifestyle, dad dies early, all that stuff.
The second half was... here is what we know now, and all of the people that he was close to when he was a child are appalled that he has become what he has become, and all of them truly believe all of the allegations against him.
Less than half of Americans care which team wins the big game, according to new research. They just don't care.
They just don't want it to be us.
According to a new survey of 2,000 U.S. adults over the age of 21, less than half... less than half, 48%, actually care which football team comes out on top in February. Results found that 1 in 4 respondents is more interested in the food than the game. And 54% believe that the food spread has the power to make or break the entire Super Bowl watching experience.
Yeah, it does.
Food also proved to be more exciting to fans than the commercials or the halftime show. The top three foods necessary to have around for a successful big game watch party are top three.
Buffalo chicken dip.
Ooh.
Wings.
Number one.
Pizza.
Nope. Not in the top three.
Ooh. Chips.
I'm gonna let you have that one because seven layer dip is number three.
I was gonna
three.
Say the dip with all of the layers in it.
Yeah. So seven layer. I mean, you have to have
yeah, that one.
Well, sometimes it's 10 layers, sometimes it's 4.
You do not want a 5 layer dip.
So wings are number one.
Ruined.
7 layer dip and chips, number two. Or number three, beg your pardon. What is number two?
Desserts.
Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course, because we're all Chiefs here, fans.
Yeah.
Now, Dana, pizza did come in fourth. Chicken tenders, fifth.
What, chicken wings and tenders?
Mm-hmm.
Awful of time.
Yep, hot wings and then, yep.
From the text line, Sam is like a smoker trying to quit and better his life. Scott and Dana are just undermining him, offering him a smoke as many times as they can.
Come on, hang doesn't in that there, smell buddy. Good? That first light smells so good, you know it does.
The first whiff of somebody else lighting a cigarette actually does smell good.
Oh, I love that smell. It's so bad how much I love that smell.
I love the first whiff of somebody lighting a cigarette.
Okay, I'm going to, I hate smoking. I hate everything about it. But I like the first whiff. What is it about that?
But
wait, I mean, like 3 seconds, right. And then.
But after that,
gross.
The second puff, the third puff, it's disgusting. Well,
did your parents smoke?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's probably it. Good. Yeah.
They smoked in the front seat while we were trapped in the back seat. Windows rolled up. Ashes flying at our face. I could have been. What do you call it? Spontaneously combusted.
Well,
that's how many ashes were flying into that back seat in the 70s.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's not how that works.
I'm just saying.
If that were to happen, stop, drop, and roll?
There was no manual back then for parents. And if there was Dr. Spock, I don't think my parents read it.
My parents would crack the window ever so slightly. And then they would flick their ashes out that little crack in the windshield.
That would then...
come back,
fly
into the back,
back
seat.
Into the back seat.
Well, that's what those little special windows with the little extra crank.
The bat wing windows or whatever they're called.
Yeah, right up front here, you could little
yeah,
crack
you,
it
you
open.
Could you could poke them open. That way you could get the cigarette out the window without the wind hitting the ash. And by the point that you get the cigarette past it,
it's already
it flicks
it.
Out and it goes past the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dad used to chew tobacco. And would spit out the window.
Oh. No,
gross!
No.
And when it was warm,
gross!
You would roll down the window if you were sitting in the back seat and happened to be sitting behind.
And it'd just make a half moon shaped loop.
Dan, I had the same experience. We were on a road trip. Oh, gosh, I was like 8 or 9 years old and I was asleep in the back seat with my window down because it was nice out. And my sister's dad was driving and he was chewing sunflower seeds. And I woke up with about 100 sunflower seed shells in my lap.
Disgusting.
They were hitting me in the face, and I was asleep.
I won't say his name, but you were mentioned about chewing tobacco. I was in college. I was back for the summer, and I was at a dear friend of mine's home in Leavenworth. And his dad chewed, and so did he.
Ugh.
And it was just, at the time, we were just watching TV. It was like a Friday night or something. And it was just me, my buddy, and his mom. And she loved to drink regular Coke. Well, my friend was spitting into a Coke can.
Oh.
His mom comes back into the living room.
No, we don't need to hear the end of the story.
Show,
no.
And you know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She beat his you know what.
Kind of like that full Coke bottle on the coffee table at the end of the party that you think is, it's just fine, but...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has put their butts
cigarette
in
butts
there.
Are spitting in it. Yeah, so gross.
When we get back, can we please talk about red dye number three?
Yes.
What is in it? If it is so bad, why has it taken decades to ban it? The move has been in the works for decades to ban this. And how many foods do you currently have in your fridge that have this in it?
Also coming up, the professions in America that are the most trusted and the least trusted. Might be surprised.
Where's car salesman on that list?
I will tell you right now, it is in the net positive, but barely.
Really? Wow. Good for a car salesman.
But they break it down to highly trust, average trust, no way in hell do I trust. Only 7% of Americans say they highly trust car salespeople. And 43% say they have average trust of a car salesman.
And those 7% are all car salesmen.
But I will tell you this as a little bit of a tease. Professions that Dan and Dana once held is even lower. Much lower.
Yeah.
Till you need it in your life.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. One of the hardest drum beats to do in all of rock. It's so off time. The FDA announcing today it had decided to revoke Red 3's authorization to be added to foods over concerns about how the food coloring is linked to cancer in lab animals. FDA officials have telegraphed the decision for months. While the agency has long said it did not think evidence of Red 3 causing cancer applied to humans, officials say their hand was forced by a law that requires the agency to pull additives that are cancerous in animals.
This has been a long ongoing fight for the granola people out there, which is the term given to people who are worried about things like this.
Oh, Sam. No.
There are an entire number of these dyes and additives that are put into food in the United States that have long been illegal in places like Europe because they have hundreds of studies backing the negative impacts of these
specific additives on our bodies. So that's what I was going to say. This has been banned in Australia, Japan,
correct,
almost all of the countries over in Europe long ago said, this is a carcinogen, we're going to ban this. And then I read this morning that it has taken decades to get this banned here. A lot of candy, by the way.
It's used in candy corn.
A lot of Valentine's Day candy.
But there's no red in candy corn. Do you remember that one?
Shut up, Scott.
But it's
what do they need the red for?
It's not red.
By the way, it can't be that dangerous. Companies are going to have up to 3 years to reformulate their products.
Yeah. It's also used in double bubble gum.
It's 2,000 different products.
Pillsbury's birthday cake cookie dough. Strawberry low-fat milk.
Brock's iconic conversation hearts.
They use Red 3.
Pez. And my favorite as a child, Ring Pops. Oh, God, those were good. Do you remember the Ring Pops?
I do. I do indeed.
Oh.
Would you care to guess the most trusted profession in America when it comes to honesty and ethics?
Physician.
The most trusted. Close. They're fifth.
Okay. Teacher?
Number two.
Okay.
Nurses?
Number one.
Bingo.
Military officers, number three. Pharmacists, number four. Medical doctors, number five. Would you care to guess, and we've already guessed one, the least trusted, based on honesty and ethics in America, car salesperson is fifth from the bottom.
Is used car salesperson a separate category?
No, it is not, okay. Sam.
Lawyer has got to be in the bottom.
Lawyer is not. It is in the top nine, but not in the top five from the bottom.
Politician has to be on there.
Number two from the bottom with an 8% very high trust rating. 68%.
That 8%, they're all family members.
No, they're all politicians. What do you mean?
Yeah, right? 68%, no way in hell do I trust them on honesty or ethics. Come on, guys. I'll give you another one. You won't get this one. Number four is advertising practitioners.
Ad agency folks?
Yeah, they're fourth from the bottom.
I know you're going to say media is on there.
TV reporters, number three from the bottom. They specify TV because newspaper reporters are much higher.
And radio reporters tell the truth. No.
Thank you.
The profession that Americans trust the least, lobbyists.
I was going to say that, but I thought that was going to fall under politicians.
Well, it's not politicians. Those are people who lobby politicians.
Yeah. Are lobbyists the reason we have still been ingesting red dye number 3
probably
all of these years?
That is true. And red dye 40, which is still legal.
It looks like also maraschino cherries. So think really red. Like, remember the red Fanta soda we used to drink when we were kids? Like, think cherry red food flavoring in a lot of candy and sodas.
In Europe, that is the only thing you're allowed to use red 3 for.
Sodas?
No, the cherries.
The cherries. Maraschino cherries.
Yep.
Can I ask a dumb question? Mm-hmm. If they did not put that fabulous red goo in there to make
them
red.
Would it taste as good?
A, would it taste as good? And B, what color would the cherries be? You know, cherries in nature are a dark, dark, almost plum color. Mm-hmm. You know, you get them out of a jar to put in a Shirley Temple. They're like shockingly
red.
Ronald McDonald hair red.
Almost fluorescent. That is the issue of mass producing food, is when you hurry the growing process through GMOs, whatever, you lose that natural rich color. So the cherries that you're getting in a maraschino cherry jar are not the ones that grew on the tree out back. Those were on a farm, sped along, and they come with a more pale color. Same thing with meat. Certain meats that we buy at the supermarket have dyes in them to turn them the color
hamburger.
We expect them to be.
Hamburger is red.
Yeah.
I need to point something out. I was wrong. Nurse is not the most trusted profession in America regarding honesty and ethics. From the text line, it's NERTH.
I was about to say that, too. Especially the NERTH anethethith.
NERTH anethethith.
They're way up there.
Oh, yeah. And if they say their own profession, they are a NERTH anethethith, you trust them even more.
Way up there.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. Don't forget to check out our podcast, the Dana Parks Podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Story here from Wichita. You can find it on the Channel 5 website. Residents of one Wichita neighborhood have not received mail at home in nearly a month after the post office reported that one of their mail carriers was attacked by a dog in the neighborhood. A month, no mail, because a mail carrier was attacked by a dog. The impacted residents are supposed to be getting a neighborhood collection mailbox, something the Postal Service says is irreversible once it's installed. Now the neighbors are working to change that decision, hoping for an eventual return to getting their mail at their homes. Residents of the neighborhood in College Hill received a letter letting them know that mail services would stop the following day, about a month ago, following the Postal Service's report that carriers were attacked by a dog on 3 separate occasions. Says one neighbor, the letter said that tomorrow, starting the next day after the letter came out, that we would have to go to the post office to get our mail, and that there would be communal boxes put on the end of the block, and that decision was irreversible. After receiving the letter, neighbors started talking and found out that only residents on one street received a warning before the final letter.
It was a 24-hour warning, too. The warning basically said, here's this letter in the mail. Your mail is suspended starting tomorrow. You're not getting it back. How mad would you be that one person in an entire neighborhood brings down mail service for everyone?
I'd be furious, because I actually still use the mail. I may be the only one on the show, but I still use the mail.
So the Postal Service is reporting that carriers, multiple carriers, mm-hmm. were attacked by a dog on 3 separate occasions.
Now, was it the same dog or just a dog?
Said attacked by a dog on 3 separate occasions. I have so many questions. If, in fact, that is the same property, why was the dog allowed to stay? Can you not just tell that house, and maybe the house on the left and on the right, sorry, we're not going anywhere near this property. There is a dangerous dog on this property. We're not coming by.
Well, but if apparently it sounds like the dog is getting off the property, hence shutting down mail delivery for the entire block.
God, I would be so mad.
There's a line in the story that seems to indicate that none of these dog attacks were reported to animal control. Now, why is that?
I find that hard to believe.
Listen to this. It says, another question we're asking, this is the TV station talking, is whether any of the dog attack incidents were even reported to animal control.
If a postal carrier was bitten not once, not twice, but thrice, the U.S. Postal Service absolutely would have reported that, right?
But haven't we heard on this show that the post office has a policy that if you are attacked by a dog, you do not have the right to fight back? You can't carry mace. Clearly can't carry a gun.
I believe they do carry mace. Well,
I was going to say, why can't you carry mace?
I thought we heard from a lady whose husband was a longtime mail carrier. Maybe I'm misremembering this, but I thought she said that her husband was attacked countless times and he was not allowed to carry mace to deter the dog.
This is the policy I'm reading that I just looked up. The USPS will stop mail delivery if a dog is loose, unrestrained, or threatens a carrier. The owner will be notified and asked to pick up their mail at the local post office. Mail delivery will resume when the USPS is confident the dog is no longer a threat. If the issue persists, the owner may be required to rent a post office box. So it sounds like policy-wise, we'll work with the owner. If you either get rid of the dog, you know, if this happens again, you're done.
Right.
So why the entire neighborhood?
Because the dog poses a risk throughout the neighborhood.
Meaning it's loose.
Clearly.
So they allow you to carry mace or other dog repellents, read that pepper spray, whatever you want to call it. And then they do have steps of guided procedure when a dog is starting to attack you as a mail carrier. Hold your ground, face the dog, hold your satchel in front of you, back slowly away, never turn your back to the dog. And if the dog attacks,
kick it.
Use your satchel and the repellent to protect yourself to avoid harm. So it specifically says on the USPS website, if the dog's going to bite you, spray it in the face.
Keep in mind, too, if there's a dog terrorizing the neighborhood, it isn't just a postal carrier that will be bitten. If this postal carrier was bitten three times, you don't think there's a pizza delivery guy out there somewhere or an Amazon driver?
Or kids just
or
playing
kids
in
that
the
haven't had the same issue? Oh, my God. I would be so mad.
By the way, it is post office provided mace.
Good.
What does that mean? It's not as effective?
No, it's part of your kit.
Okay. All right.
Here's your bag. Here's your mace. Good luck.
I don't think I would be interested in ever having a job where they hand you your bag, the keys to your vehicle, and mace.
Somebody says, what is so bad about having a community box? I don't think there is anything bad about it.
I don't think there is anything bad about it at all.
Now, people who have had, and I did when I lived in Roland Park for 11 years, my mailbox was right outside my front door. And I'll be honest.
That's good and bad.
On a stupid, crazy, cold day like we're going to get this weekend or a snowy day like Sunday to Monday was, it was really convenient to just open my front door and grab my mail. I kind of felt sorry for the post carrier who had to walk the entire block and then walk the next block and the block after that nonstop. But it was very convenient for me. Now the box is like two doors down to the north. I don't dislike it. In fact, going to it, sometimes I bump into neighbors, even in the winter, because everybody's hibernating, that I haven't seen in weeks. And we just say hello.
I hate the communal mail area.
Why?
I put a mail stop on all of my mail the second that I moved into an apartment because I knew that I was never going to go check it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So where do you get your mail?
My mom's house. And then I go get it.
That seems...
Oh, that's more convenient.
Way less convenient.
Well, yeah, but then my mom's not going to get mad that it's sitting on the, you know, the entry table for a while.
All right.
What is wrong with you?
He is anti-mail.
I hate the communal mail area.
Well, isn't it in the building?
No.
You have to go to a separate building to get it?
Yeah.
Like you have to go to your mom's to get it?
I see your logic. Right? I also don't get a lot of mail. I can't remember the last time that I got a piece of mail that was important other than my W-2.
It is a lot of junk.
Oh.
All right, listen to this. This is one I don't think we have ever talked about in all of the years we have been sitting here together, Scott. This is from Fox 4, but I'm guessing all of the stations picked it up this week. A firefighter with the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department has been, quote, severely injured this week after he was hit by a fire hose while battling a commercial fire. Listen to this. According to a Facebook post by the KCK Professional Firefighters Association, crews were working a fire at a subway near Southwest and Rainbow Boulevard, the one over by KU Met, when a driver ran over one of the supply hoses, pulling it from the fire hydrant, causing it to hit the firefighter. The incident was not fatal, but KCKFD says it shows how quickly things can go wrong in their line of work. As firefighters, we work in unpredictable and dangerous conditions. We rely not only on our training, but also on the public's attention to detail to ensure everyone's safety. Something as seemingly simple as avoiding driving over a fire hose.
Who would do that?
Can make all the difference. I'm here to ask you, can your car even, like, fully pressurized fire hoses are not tiny.
No, they're big.
You would see it.
Clearly.
To be near the hose, you're also near enough to the scene.
I was going to say
the fire trucks.
Why is there traffic there?
The flashing lights on the big red metal box to your left is probably a good indication that there's a hose across the road.
Or turn around and go a different direction.
Listen to this. As a result of this incident, the KCK Professional Firefighters Association released a list of reminders that we all need to keep in mind while driving by the scene of a fire. Number one, never drive over the fire hose. A, the hoses are critical for fighting fires, right?
Who knew?
And driving over them can damage the equipment, disrupt operations, and, quote, cause injuries. So is this because of the great pressurization coming out of the hydrant? And
yes.
Someone drives over the hose, it detaches at the hydrant.
Right.
And then that thing flies like a missile toward one of the firefighters?
That I don't know. I've never used a fire hose in my life.
He's severely injured, Scott.
It starts whipping all over the place, and you try to get near it to shut the water off or get a hold of it.
Who drives over a fire hose in the first place?
I'm actually surprised by this because when I work at the other place that I work at sometimes and I'm power washing the parking lot, I pull the hose across the parking lot, and people will pull it, and it's a little tiny hose that you can drive over all day long without impacting the pressure. And people pull up to the hose and just park there. And I have to walk up to their window and be like,
do you mind?
Drive over that. Just go.
Huh. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. She's Dana Wright. He's Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories about this where some of them have videos, some of them don't. I think it's common sense to not drive over a fire hose while they are fighting a fire, but apparently there needs to be a PSA.
I thought it was common sense that if you're seeing fire trucks, find another way around it instead of driving between the trucks and the fire.
One of the things I read, because of the possibility of serious injury or death to the firefighter, and I think this case was out of California where a couple of them were seriously injured, was that due to the nature of the way some of the hydrants are positioned and located, they avoid it whenever they can, but there are times when they are fighting a fire, they have to string the hose from the nearest working or available fire hydrant across the street. And they said, look, we try to avoid this for this very reason, but there are times in an emergency where we cannot. And if you come up across the scene, like maybe right after the fire truck's gotten there and you see that hose in the road, do not drive over it.
And didn't you show me a video of some car that was basically stopped on top of a fire hose?
One of them was a 5-alarm fire where 100 people were displaced, and the car that drove over the hose burst the hose, which then stopped the water supply.
But to Scott's point, if it's a 5-alarm fire, why are we allowing random people to drive down the road next to the fire truck?
My guess is this is right when they are getting there, Sam, hooking it up before police are even there to direct traffic.
Mm-hmm.
They run over to get the water on it, and someone drives. I just can't even believe we're having this conversation.
Because at my old apartment complex, there were two buildings that caught fire 3 days apart, both buildings right next to each other.
Yeah.
And my building was, I don't know, 500 yards away. And the path through the roads, through the complex to get to my building didn't even take me past these buildings. And I had to convince the firefighter to let me into the complex so that I could go to my apartment. And I wasn't even getting near the buildings that were on fire. I'm just amazed that they even allow this to happen.
Or that people think that they can do it.
But they can't, you know what I'm saying, Sam? They can't direct the traffic and fight the fire. Like, I think most of the incidents that have happened where someone is injured is probably right after they hook that thing up.
Sure. No cones are out yet.
No.
Cops are not on the scene yet.
No.
And if they are.
And if something is burning, the firefighters, you know, they don't have time for traffic control. They're going to try to do what they can to save the property.
Yeah. From the Kansas City Star, Lee Summit was named one of the 25 safest cities in the country in a recent ranking by MoneyGeek. But what does that really mean? Hmm? The city had the 23rd lowest societal cost of crime in the nation, according to the financial website. The analysis was published in December. Crime cost each Lee Summit resident an estimated $543 per year. Remember that number,
543. Okay.
The lowest cost on the list of 292 cities with more than 100,000 residents, the lowest cost was Ramapo Town, New York, at $271 per person. Keep in mind, Lee Summit was, this is just for the cost of fighting crime in your city. Lee Summit's cost was $543 per person. The highest was Memphis at $11,582 per resident.
Per person?
Yes.
What goes into that number?
They looked at everything. Murder, vehicle theft, anything and everything that has to do with crime.
Cleaning up the glass after you're burglarized.
How much does crime cost each resident in the city? And in Memphis, it was $11,582 per person. Back to the fire hose topic for just a moment. Steve in KCK. Steve, hello.
Yes. Last time I remember, I'm not an expert on it, but it was against the law, and you could be cited for driving over a fire hose.
I wouldn't doubt it, and I hope you are cited. It's a great question, Steve, especially because this firefighter was seriously injured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was 16 years ago today, the Miracle on the Hudson.
Wow.
16 years ago today, Sully Sullenberger.
I tell you, I want to go to that museum. You know there is a museum, and the fuselage is there. And a friend of mine visited, I think it's in North Carolina, I'd have to look. A friend of mine visited Scott, and she said that, like, people's shoes are still inside. Like, some of the artifacts of that frantic exit from that plane are still, like, stacked luggage, like, stuff like that.
Do you remember what it was that brought the plane down?
It was a double bird strike.
Double bird strike, that's right. Both engines were hit.
God, that's a good movie.
I never saw it. I met him.
Man, it is good, Scott.
Years ago, I think he came to town, if I'm not mistaken, back when we would do these events where, and we were partnered with Rainy Day Books.
Yeah.
And they would bring in authors who would speak. And if memory serves me right, he came in when he put out his book and we hosted, through Rainy Day Books, Captain Sully. And he was a horribly nice man. Horribly nice.
Tom Hanks in Sully is outstanding.
Really?
And the reenactment of what happened when that plane hit the water and as the water is rushing in is a must-see movie.
And not a single death.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that would happen today.
He's a hero. He's an absolute hero. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.